Welcome back to the Potato Bumps Wrestling Podcast from HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joined tonight by Cole Monroe.
What's going on? I'm ready to take some bumps and hand out some potatoes.
Yeah, we're better friends than that. We don't need to start off like that.
No, you're right. I just did eat some potatoes, though, so I feel like I'm ready.
I've had a lot of potatoes.
Ready lately. To fucking go. Ready to go tonight.
I had a lot of potatoes because the Wendy's near me started serving potatoes again. And
baked potatoes?
Like baked potatoes. Like
they got away from baked potatoes?
Some of them, like it seems to be just location-based. But I found one, serves potatoes. They're cheap as hell, but they're really well-priced for what you get. You get a couple of those, you can have some nice potatoes. Don't buy just one because it's not near enough to make an actual potato.
But, yeah. I know you're a big potato fan. Like you used to get baked potatoes all the time from Wendy's back in the day. So yep. I'm rather back for you and your local Wendy's.
Yeah, it's the little things. It's I've been made fun of multiple meals for getting potatoes as appetizers and potatoes at my meal. So,
do you put pickles on your potatoes?
No. I have to draw a line with pickles.
Could you love pickles?
I can eat the pickles on the side.
Yeah, okay.
But not actually physically on the potatoes. No, that doesn't sound appetizing. So, yeah, that's exactly where... We'll just turn this into a cooking show. Let's forget about wrestling.
Okay. I mean, yeah, wrestling, cooking, there's similar characteristics in each of those. Have you seen Iron Chef before? It's basically cooking wrestling.
I was going to say, it's basically a wrestling show.
Yeah, it's a wrestling show with a bunch of dumb cooking in it.
Oh, man.
I am ready to talk about wrestling when we probably should be watching Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, but should we?
Or not. I mean, we can still talk about wrestling without watching Raw.
See,
I feel like I get more out of it just reading recaps because then I can skip over all the bullshit.
Yep. Yeah, I like the recaps, and like when we started watching wrestling as a group kind of in the last year, kind of enjoyed my once a month to just watch the specials and get caught up on everything versus going through the weekly ups and downs. I found myself I'm a happier person, but I'm also trying not to take it so seriously and get caught up in the negative side of overanalyzing it. And just, I don't know, you look at where the last year went, and we're going to talk about WrestleMania 31 tonight, and you know, we all had a lot of apprehensions going into that show, but from where we were at with WrestleMania 30, which got me back into things, to where we ended up at the end of WrestleMania 31, I'm pretty happy with how the year went, and I'm going to try to...
You feel like you're going to remain a subscriber this year?
Oh, yeah, NXT's on there, so I've always got that.
And that's one thing. Well, yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, I might start watching Raw more now because I won't see Neville anyway besides Raw, it seems like. And I really like watching that dude wrestle.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe since I cut the cable cord, it's been tough for me to watch the wrestling, Raw, but we'll see.
I kind of wish there was like an add-on package for the network. Like you pay, I don't know, $5 more a month and you get current Raws. I don't know.
Yeah. You can get some of that money to USA Network if you have to, like something weird.
Yeah. There. Just to make up the difference of your ratings loss. I don't know. It'll probably be a huge loss because I'm sure they're making tons of money from
do it like 5 days later, like do it after SmackDown or like.
Yeah. Not it's like a month
days.
Behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does nothing for me. So I'd be okay with being a week behind. How about that? So
no, yeah, me be too.
Our first fantasy booking is how to fix Raw. Got it. So what the hell are we doing? We did a monster podcast to kick off PotatoBumps.com, which is basically we just got more serious and realized we were talking on a regular basis about wrestling, so trying to formalize that a bit from our other content on HorribleNight.com. But we did feel like we need to start a website here for this because we're gonna start kind of talking through and writing out our predictions and our fantasy booking ideas in addition to our podcasts and just, I don't know, regular Tumblr animated GIF tomfoolery on that site. So it also gave us an excuse. You and I had some fun. I don't know if you run into this, but like I'll do some wrestling tweets every now and then, but I don't like to flood my stream with wrestling tweets. But we started the Potato Bumps Twitter account and live tweeted WrestleMania between the two of us, which was also a lot of fun. because you're in Vegas, mm-hmm. I'm in Indianapolis. We're not really talking otherwise, but
right.
we were both using the same account, and I don't think we had too many duplicates. We both
have different voices.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think we did either.
I
was worried about that for sure.
I did almost, on multiple times, retweet you and then realize that we were the same account. So
yeah, what I would have to do and go back and switch to my personal account and then retweet it.
Yeah.
And I would retweet my own stuff too because I was like, people got to read this. This shit's gold.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, warned everybody on my main feed too. It was like, hey, sorry guys.
It's
the biggest day in wrestling. I'm live tweeting this shit. And then use it as a jumping off point for our Potato Bumps Twitter feed too. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. Like usually when we watch pay-per-views, we'll watch them. We're streaming online, you know, on Google Plus or whatever it's called. Google
Hangout. Yeah. We'll hang out together.
Yeah. We'll hang out and watch the pay-per-view, but I kind of liked, doing it just over Twitter and sharing our things and like trying to surprise with something funny or make you laugh, yeah, even though yeah. I'm not getting any feedback right away, but I was like, I hope Justin likes this tweet.
Although this I did find like it was taking away my attention from some of the matches too. So I was trying to be conscious mm-hmm. of that. So it's very hard. Live tweeting was more difficult yeah. than I anticipated. It was also a lot of fun. I think we'll probably do that for the special events. Mm-hmm. At least cause we're not going to do the weekly shows. But I wouldn't be surprised to see us do NXT more often than not, because that might be a thing
yeah,
we actually
and I think
watch live.
And I think that's, you know, we kind of fell into that last week a little bit after.
We should have done the Raw after WrestleMania. WrestleMania yeah. next year, we need to like run that whole weekend because it is a big deal. It kind of
yeah, we should probably just go. To WrestleMania.
Okay, that's fine too. We can go to Texas, and
I think we kind of synced up on NXT, mm-hmm. and you know, there's 3 hour difference, so it's on at I think 5 o'clock yeah. here, where it's on 8 o'clock and on the Eastern. And like, we ended up, you started it just a little bit before I did when I got home from work, mm-hmm. and
it's killing me.
That was kind of cool too. Like we were texting back and forth and stuff, and I really like that. And I think that's something we should probably do in the future too.
Yeah.
Just kind of sync up our NXT watching times and then tweet together.
Yeah. Well, we will gather our random comments from as we're watching wrestling and put them somewhere. So we'll, you know, potatobumps.com will be much of an experiment here in the next couple months, but you'll at least get, I'd say mm-hmm. monthly yeah. podcasts from us, related to the special events from WWE until we branch out to watch other things, which will probably pop up here and there. And then, yeah, just random kind of Tumblr content in between shows. And, I'm looking forward to doing some predictions and fantasy booking and following up with where we fell on our face and what stuff we got right. And, not taking it too seriously.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the genesis of this whole idea behind Potato Bumps. It was like, we've been talking and texting and slacking and mm-hmm. chatting about, you know, ideas that we have and sharing it with other people. And it's like,
this is fun.
We should just put this out. Yeah, this is fun. Let's just put it out there for people to, you know, enjoy wrestling as much as we do and hate on the stuff that sucks.
Yep.
You know,
that's what it's all about.
Enjoy like wrestling. Like, let's get this out of the way. I fucking love wrestling.
Yeah.
It is dumb as hell.
It's good,
dumb
fun.
That's why I love it.
Yep.
It's good, dumb fun. You don't have to think too hard. You can get in and analyze if you want to, or you can just appreciate the athletic competition. Like, watch that Max Landis video, Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, to get an idea if you're not into wrestling. Like, it's great. It's great. And I think now more people are, I think it's almost on an upswing again, because, you know, as well as social media is sharing how awesome WrestleMania 31 was, like, more people are talking about it that don't even watch wrestling. So mm-hmm. I think we're on the cusp of, with the network coming on and, you know, some nostalgia being played at the last WrestleMania, more and more people are starting to watch. And like, I think it's on an upswing again of popularity.
It feels that way. It feels that way since last year, honestly. Yeah. So.
Yep.
It's been a fun ride so far, and I've just resolved we might take it more seriously in that we're going to produce more content related to it, but I'm not going to take it seriously because wrestling should never be taken seriously. And I was definitely, those last 3 months of the main roster were easy to question why you're behind this product, but they can also, it's always moving and they can always turn a corner. And yeah, so WrestleMania 31 was a lot of fun. So let's break it down to start things off here. And I'm gonna include the pre-show stuff because we obviously watched quite a bit of wrestling that weekend. And
the pre-show stuff, the pre-show matches were really good.
I mean,
really good.
It's just weird. They're
better
only,
than they had any business being.
Yeah, they're only pre-show in the fact that you can only watch them on the WWE Network. But like, that's just I'd like to hang out with these people that continue to just get pay-per-views, like, and you know, didn't get to watch this stuff. Yeah. So
WrestleMania HD show.
WrestleMania was really a 5-hour show. You did not need to watch that first hour of the pre-show. Let's get that out of the way. Because even the stuff that they do to prep the matches, they have their vignettes in between matches that catch you up, and they're usually good enough. So, but things started off with the tag team 4-way for the titles, because why not? So you had Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, The Usos, Los Matadores, and The New Day. All fighting it off. It's just, you know, it was a spot fest, but they had some pretty good spots. It was that match was fun. I think it was interesting to see the crowd already turn on The New Day that strongly at a WrestleMania. It was kind
New
of
Day sucks.
Was that the first? That's the first time I've heard that.
First time I heard it too, but I don't watch a lot of
right.
network wrestling, so. Or non-network wrestling. Yeah, I was like thoroughly enjoyed this tag team match, and I don't necessarily think I have any business enjoying it. I don't like 3 out of the 4 teams that are
on. Right, good point.
But the result I wanted, with Cesaro and Kidd winning, and there's a couple good spots. I think they wrote off one of the Usos
because
he had hurt his shoulder in previous weeks, Jimmy. I think they wrote that off really well. In match, you know, played up the injury angle, and then Naomi got a little rub to do her over the top rope spot, which I think was pretty cool. Like, yep. I think the thing with the Usos, and we haven't talked about this, but the thing about the Usos for me is I think their characters suck and yep. their real personalities are way better. Like, oh, their really? Real personalities as dudes, like, I want to hang out with the dudes. Like,
you're
I think
watching too much Soul Divas, aren't you?
Well, that and like talking about the Hall of Fame,
okay.
they were talking about like Rikishi and stuff. But yeah, Total Divas and the Rikishi, like I really like the Usos. They seem like good dudes, and I could see myself hanging out with them. And it's just, and they're funny, and it's just like it doesn't come across as their wrestling characters.
No, I mean they're just, I mean they're to me they're the John Cena's of the tag team division. They're like they're there for the kids. Like, and I've just sometimes yeah. I've gotten better. Like, it just you just identify like. You know, each team, each superstar is going to have kind of his target audience, and the ones that are just completely off base with where I'm at, like, you just got to kind of, I don't know, you got to kind of tolerate them. And then you look at the rest of that tag team division, and, you know, Josh was on our show for our awards show, and I've just kind of come around that, like, they are... predictable. All their matches are like a John Cena match. They're predictable and kind of boring for that. But you look at the rest of the tag team division and the other options of who could be in this match. You know the some of the stuff the Usos are going to do. Like, you can at least get entertainment value out of it. And like mm-hmm. I don't know what the like. It's just hopefully the Lucha Dragons can replace. Los Matadores, like, and so we can retire that group because, like, there's no reason to ever take them seriously.
I never fucking understood them.
No.
Like, they were fine as Primo and Epico, but why throw them in a gimmick that didn't work in the 90s? You know, like, we had the El Matador Tito Santana in the 90s, did not work, you know, for a long period of time, and now we have this tag team of bullfighters with actual
you know what's next
anamorphic bull.
You know what they're going to do next, the Los Matadores, is the Ascension are going to pick up Hornswoggle and make like death metal Hornswoggle, and they're going to revisit that whole feud again.
God damn it, you're right, and that fucking sucks so bad. Oh my god,
I'm just
that's
kidding.
Exactly what they're gonna do.
I'm just kidding. They're not gonna
that's
do
exactly
anything
what
with the
they're
Ascension.
Gonna do.
They're gonna let the Ascension burn.
Can we just?
God, that's
you know, future endeavor, the Ascension as soon as possible.
Man,
just rip up their contracts
and predictions. The Ascension are not on TV. By when? Are off TV? Aside from Superstars, they might show up on Superstars.
I mean,
Superstars.
SummerSlam?
I was going to say SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
All right. That's our first official prediction.
Official prediction for me, they are future endeavored by SummerSlam.
Oh, wow. They're not Young Bucks. They're not the Young Bucks, and they're not Young Bucks.
They are certainly not either one of those.
I'd be pissed off if they started a super kick party.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I didn't like them in NXT ever. I just didn't know what they thought they could do with them on the main
that's
roster.
That's the most, as NXT fans, it's the most frustrating thing to watch. It's just like, you know, for things they get right, and then when you see when they just like, they never gave those guys a shot. Like, that was the other thing. Regardless of what you thought of them, like, it was they never stood a chance. So. Well,
and, like, yeah, what do you expect out of a team who's going to trash the Legion of Doom their first week / Road Warriors? Like, what do you expect? How do you expect the crowd to react? That's not good heat to get. That's just, like, fuck you heat. That's Xbox heat.
Have they just forgotten how to, like, debut heels? Is that, like, I mean, I don't know what the formula is there, but, like, like I've been thinking about them bringing up Tyler Breeze, not to NXT detour already, but been thinking about them bringing up Tyler Breeze, sure. And just like his gimmick it'll just work out of the gate because it's easy to grasp. And why would you cheer for him? Like he won't have to do much.
But does it? But does it turn into Fandango? You know, That's my fear is like if he doesn't hit right away.
Yeah,
and even if he does hit right away, Fandango hit. You know, decently with people making fun of his dance and like that Jericho program in WrestleMania, but it's like, is that Tyler Breeze's future? I mean, that fucking sucks.
I don't think so. I think no it's. I'm hoping like here comparisons to Rick the Model Martel, and maybe you know let him get on the mic and do some stuff that
or Rick Rude even shit.
Yeah. So yeah, the tag team match. I mean, I think I remember the like was that triple suplex spot off the corner where one of them almost died. It wasn't Tyson Kidd who was on the left. Tyson Kidd was at the top on the stack on the right. Who was on the?
Was it?
I think it's Kofi. Like one of the Matadores probably, did not pull his weight. I think it was the bases were Cesaro and Big E. Yeah, so they had that cool
Matador
spot.
Not pulling their weight.
And then I like the ending. I like the ref being confused as to who's tagged in, and then Cesaro at the last minute, like as Jey Uso's taken off, kind of blind tags him, and then covers Big E for the win there. So they get to retain. The only thing I would say there just wasn't any drama because I knew because the Usos are really the only ones in that out of those teams that they're gonna give the belts to. And with knowing that Jimmy's out on injury, they're not going to do that right now. But you know, they made Jay look. You know, he almost snuck a win. Went out of that anyway.
Yeah, so. He looked good.
They booked that about as well as you can do. So, and I like our champions right now, and I hope Cesaro gets to do more dumb shit like near the microphone and. Cause he was entertaining during the WrestleMania live shows and that kind of thing. So I want them to have a name though. Like they haven't embraced any of their team names.
That t-shirt's badass though too.
Yeah.
Did you see like their little break in, like their little 3-minute break in every hour before WrestleMania pre-show?
No.
Like it's on the network where Kid and Cesaro are talking and they're like up in the pre-show booth with Renee and Booker T and Brent. Byron Saxton, they just fucking rip on Byron Saxton the whole time. Cesaro is just like Cesaro cuts a Scotty Steiner like number math promo.
I heard that.
It was incredible.
So I mean, hopefully,
so why
he's got to make the most of that time, and hopefully some of that comes through because I mean, okay, if he goes heel or face, but like, let him do something, and hopefully he takes that brass ring when he gets that's the only reason not to give them a tag team name is if you really want Cesaro to do another singles run here soon. So otherwise, run with this for a year and then see where we're at. But let's see here. That takes us to the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. How much better was this booked than the Royal Rumble? Like, if you look at the progression of the match.
Infinity better? An infinity times better? Is that a real number?
So, first of all, there were more than 20 people in this. Like, they, at one point, threw that number out. I was like, there's definitely, like, 30-some in there. First thing I noticed and looked for was Hideo Tommy running around. And the fact that... Did he eliminate anybody? He put in some offense.
Yeah, he had a nice welcoming to the WWE from the Big Show.
Yeah, but that shot of
slaps and stuff.
Yeah, I like that he at least was in a featured spot there, so that was cool. But
it was good. It was good.
But Axel Mania kicked it off.
That was so great.
I've come around on how dumb that little thing is, but
I tweeted this, and I never really realized that the Dash-a-mania could be a gimmick in itself, right?
Yeah.
So like, it's not necessarily stuck to Hulk Hogan. Like, why couldn't somebody else take the Dash-mania and use it? And that's what Axel's doing, obviously in a comedic role. Mm-hmm. But I never thought about that way until that WrestleMania, and I was like, oh man, what if like other people take this, you know? And like, going back to
Big
TNA
Mania, I can see it.
TNA with Jay Lethal did a Macho Man gimmick, and it's like, of course, that the Macho to act like Macho Man isn't his character necessarily. It's a gimmick, you know. Right. And why can't somebody else take that gimmick on? And Jay Lethal did it amazingly in TNA, but it's just like looking at
for an extended amount of time.
Way, it's just like, yeah, he did it for months or a year.
All right.
Yeah, like he did it for a long time. Like it's really good. You should go check it out on YouTube. Like, he's got the voice, the mannerisms, like the way his lips move. Like, he even got the Macho Man lip action. Like, it's incredible. He was called the Black Machismo because he's a black man.
Interesting. I wonder where the parody lines are drawn there. But 29 people threw him through Curtis Axel out of the ring. So that was that was pretty funny. Okay, what else? Cesaro had a little run there in the middle, thought that
I didn't even know he was gonna be in it.
That surprise too. And then I can't believe that I bought into he might win. Like, he was going
they made him look that good.
Yep. And I was like, okay, all right. And then I was trying to think of any other spots there in the middle. Ryback almost killed Titus O'Neil. I remember that. Ryback being Ryback.
Ryback getting thrown out was
I actually thought he was going to win, like, towards the middle of that match. I thought they
were... Yeah, I did too.
I don't remember what happened to Kane. Who threw Kane out?
I mean, who cares? I'm really glad that Sheamus didn't come in and ruin any of these matches this whole WrestleMania.
You had to wait 24 hours for
especially this Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah, just 24 hours. It's good. It's okay. It wasn't at WrestleMania. I didn't have to see him.
And then we get some payoff, too.
I don't know. I don't think there's too much more to say. Yeah.
Well, the payoff to Miz and Mizdow was where I was going. Like, the crowd definitely popped for Mizdow, finally standing up to Miz.
I forgot that happened in that match.
And then there's a split moment when you're like, they might let Mizdow win. And they're like, because God, no, don't let Big Show know. Yeah, do not let the Big Show win. But they let the Big Show win, and they got that out of the way. That was kind of like, in the days since, it's just been like, okay, they'll let him win one, and he had to win Andre's trophy at some point because he's his son.
Except he's won battle royals before. They were throwing at the whole like WWE mythology of, well, if it happened in the past, it didn't really happen because this is the way we need to frame this.
And I think it was on Austin's podcast they were talking about, you know, they gave it to Cesaro last year and didn't do much with him. And if they gave it to Mizdow and then the same thing happened, so it's kind of like, what does this title mean anything at all? And maybe Big Show can be a big jerk about it and like talk it up as like actually play it into his heelness, and maybe it'll turn into something.
Or even better, they do the exact same thing that they did with Cesaro, and Big Show just goes away. Yeah.
That would
be great.
You joining in on those retire chants? I think I'm mostly just frustrated.
He doesn't have to retire.
Yeah. I'm just frustrated because I feel like we get so sick of the Kane Big Show stuff that it's like you have two other guys that can easily fill that role, and they're in the way. So like I get to see less of Luke Harper because those two are around. So
right.
All right. I guess that actually takes us to WrestleMania. So we were pretty stoked about the Intercontinental ladder match when it started, and kind of how it played out. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was very low key for a ladder match. In terms of like crazy spots, like I didn't feel.
I had two very nervous moments.
I don't get as anxious as you do during matches like this, but I feel like if I did, it wouldn't be as bad as the Harper Ziggler one from, you know, the fall. I thought like with as many people as were in it, like they were very careful and safe. There were a couple spots, like the Ambrose spot was ridiculous, but he was going to do something ridiculous. Like it's
power bomb through a ladder. That ladder was supposed to break, right?
Yeah. But I think
take that head bump? Like how, like, is that how that's supposed to land?
You're supposed to take it on your shoulders. I think it just, you know, bad angle or whatever.
Yeah.
Broke away weird. But everything else was pretty calm for a ladder match. Everybody kind of hit their spots and stuff. And I think it was honestly, you know, Brian didn't get that involved in anything crazy. So I think it was kind of almost to protect him a little bit from getting more injured.
He took a shot though.
Go ahead.
Like there's a point where Luke Harper was in the, I think it was Luke Harper was in the corner and kind of threw the ladder at him. Like because he'd done he did this thing where he was running from the corner and smashing the guys in between the ladders, and he came back to run and do it again. They threw the ladder at him, and he took one to the head that was like he was trying to block it, but it still looked like he took the hit, and it looked like it slipped and just nailed him in the forehead. But my other favorite moment though was when Stardust got his ladder. And he had the big black shiny, the star ladder, the
sparkly ladder.
And then Bad News Barrett just proceeded to destroy it and ripped off one of the steps and used it to beat people. And I hadn't seen that before, so that was pretty awesome. And then the superplex that Stardust took off the top of one of the ladders, that was like the other big spot. Like I don't know which one was actually more dangerous, but. That was intense.
Who gave him that? Who gave him the suplex? I don't remember. That was crazy.
I think it's Bad News Barrett. Is that right?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's bad. Yeah, so. It was Bad News, and yeah. So, thanks Cody for signing up for that. But it did seem a little bit methodical, I guess. But I'm okay with
it. It wasn't bad. Like it was fine. It wasn't the best ladder match ever, but it was still great. I mean, it's not going to stand the test of time. But there was nothing bad about it. You know,
it's a good start to the show too.
It was a great start to the show, and you know they had to get it out of the way so it wouldn't overshadow anything else potentially.
And you know, I like Brian winning. I like Brian having the Intercontinental belt. Like I'm actually fine. Like you could have given it to any of the faces, and I think it'd be fine. And
sure.
But giving to Brian's a good thing. It was just weird because they want to make a big deal about it, which yeah, you should. Are we just pretending that he didn't have this exact same moment with the bigger belt last year? That was just like, there's a little bit too much of like focusing on the celebration. I was like, yeah, he's thrilled. I was like, for a second place trophy. Like,
yeah, kind
of like, I like the future of the Intercontinental belt is going to be, it's going to be a fun year with that. At least for the foreseeable future. So that's
it
cool.
It appears to be that way. Yeah.
Yeah. But I had a little weird moment there. And then he met all the Intercontinental champs in the back later with Menounos. So
Yeah, the best part of that was when Flair chopped Steamboat, and Steamboat had this like surprised look on his face, like, what the hell, dude?
So many woos, too. The woos were out of control. Yeah. And then I was surprised, the second match, being Orton and Rollins. Like, I think you wouldn't do back-to-back. There's really no other way to book it, taking a look at this, but I don't know. This match seemed like a bigger deal, but also had the only one really without any stakes. So, I have really liked Orton since I started giving him a chance. Kind of after SummerSlam, I didn't like him when I kind of first got back into things last year. Mm-hmm. But it was before the RKO out of nowhere stuff kind of took over and gave him some personality, but. I've really enjoyed his matches, and this is by far the best match of his that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I was really down on Orton last year before he went out with his injury, back pre-WrestleMania too. It was just like, dude, you're playing a slimy heel like Rollins is now,
mm-hmm.
which it works really well. It works really well with Rollins, and there's something about Orton that it just does not work. Like, I don't know if it's because he's so huge, tall, angry all the time. Like, he doesn't seem like the guy that would be a slimy heel. He's like, you know what? We're going to fight. Let's fight. Yeah. I'm pissed.
Yep.
And I think, moving him away from that sliminess has actually improved his character a lot. And turning him face for now, too, even though he has a lot more fun playing a heel, which you can tell. But he's kind of playing a heel now, but the crowd's just cheering him.
Yep.
Which is fine, too.
I
really like
the more gray area faces they have, I think the better too. Like I hope they can figure this out for them.
I mean, yes to no, you don't want a whole roster full of gray area baby faces, but I think they are, which, that happened in the mid 2000s, which kind of, destroyed the product a little bit in my opinion. But since you don't have a lot of them right now, I think, it's pretty cool. I mean, you can kind of count Ziggler in there too, because he does a lot of heel things, but people still cheer him.
I was gonna say I see like him and Ambrose in the middle of this, like
Ambrose too. Yeah, Ambrose too. Yeah.
Ambrose on the face side of it, and Orton just slightly on the heel side of it. But but regardless, and as frustrated as it was to see how they brought Orton back, because. They had the chance for him just to be
terrible.
straight babyface out of the gate, and they drug it out and pretended like he wasn't going to turn on Rollins, and then finally did. And that's kind of just one of those things that sucks having to watch it on a week by week basis. But if it's just like you have the leaps in between months and you don't see them twice a week, they could have pulled this. They could have just mm-hmm. had a much bigger reception for him and run with it. But ultimately the payoff was good, and the match was excellent. Those two work well together. I don't know if that's, it was just, I don't know, more fire to Orton's step in this match. Like, they both seemed kind of creatively on top of their game. And
they seem motivated for sure.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, Rollins kind of just
RKO.
best RKO. Like, not only that, but just everything that had to go right to make that look good. Like, Rollins gets as much credit for that RKO as Randy should, and if not more. The fact that you hadn't seen anything like that before, no one's popped him up from the curb stomp like that, mm-hmm. which I bet you do see more going forward. But the timing was perfect, and I'm glad. Especially with how the rest of WrestleMania was booked, made a lot of sense for Orton to win. I didn't expect him to win going in, and it was a nice little surprise. And I don't know, just felt really good about that match. And that was kind of when I was like, okay, I expected the ladder match to be pretty good. This was really exciting. And you look at the rest of this card, and it's like, it was rough getting here, but this card looks pretty good.
It really does. And I think that was the same feeling I had. Like, coming into it, I wasn't that excited. Obviously, on the day of, I got really excited, even though we talked about wrestling for 100 hours. But god damn, this match. And I'd watched the Orton documentary that's on the network maybe a week or two before WrestleMania, and really turned a corner on him and about how good Orton is. Like, push away the character side, his character stuff, and just watch him in the ring and how young he is. Dude's only 34. And he's been in the WWE for 12 years. it's quite an incredible run, and the amount of like care and that he takes care of his body, and just listening to different podcasts talking about him and like that documentary, it's just like that dude was a pretty big fuck up in his like young 20s, late teens, and to see him where he like really became passionate about something and like and has become as good as he is. God, I never thought I'd be talking about this Randy Orton this way, but it's like, man, he, and this match just, you know, like you said, you don't know if it's more Rollins or Orton or what, or it's just a combination of both of them just being on top of their game, being highly motivated outside of the title hunt. Just stole, you know,
I mean, stole if they the make him, if they
to a point, like,
yeah,
you know,
if they can lean into it and make Orton just unpredictable in the ring, if he plays that up and just dangerous man, like he could have another solid run here. Just as I think the fans want to cheer for him now, and as long as they can book his matches smart and don't do what they did, drag him down with authority stuff, like and bury him in that group. Just let him be the loner, you know, like you don't have to, it doesn't have to make sense all the time. Just like he's picking his fights. He's like, I just want to get at, Give him a target, and he'll whatever is in his way of that target, and just make stuff make sense from there. I think there's something to it. Like, and I don't know that's kind of an unexpected bonus, because I don't know, he kind of felt like him and Cena are kind of going to the wayside, and I don't know. Don't push Orton away so quickly, I would say. And then, I mean, the only thing I'll have to say about Rollins is he just makes everybody better around him in the ring, and I'm always excited to see his matches. So. And he definitely brought it even in the loss. So, and J&J did their thing. So pretty happy. Then that brings us to Triple H and Sting. Probably bigger moment for you. You know, me as the never the WCW guy. I was like, okay, we're gonna have you know, I liked. I was going to say I liked the build-up. I liked before Sting talked and they tried to make a story with it before WrestleMania, but I'm excited for this match to exist. So I was all in. Mm-hmm. The entrances. What did you think of that Triple H entrance? You're on the no? Yeah. So I just saw his...
God damn it. The stupid fucking entrances. Like, first off, how big is your goddamn ego, Triple H, that the WrestleMania text above the entrance and the Titantron is in the Terminator font? Like, you set this fucking up to come out. Arnold's involved with the Hall of Fame. Let's get him involved in my entrance. Like, what? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Is it because it's in Silicon Valley? Like, hey, technology, let's dress up as like a fucking Viking robot. Let's God damn it, Triple H. It's so dumb. It was so dumb. Last year was real dumb.
Last year was awesome dumb, though.
But way better. Yeah. But way better than this.
I think it's just because it looks
way
stupid.
Too long.
I think it looks stupid.
I will say that I didn't catch this when I first watched it, but like going back and reading like recaps of the show, and somebody pointed out that the entrance was very WCW Saturday Night, where like you're targeting guys and stuff, where he was targeting.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I thought it was a Guns N' Roses music video, but
I'll give them a little pass on that if they're making fun of WCW Saturday Night, because that's kind of funny. But the rest of it was real dumb. And then I thought Sting's entrance was okay.
Yeah.
Except he looked like a fucking vampire with that red coat. Oh,
that was weird.
Like Napoleonic coat. It didn't make any sense. But whatever. It wasn't about the entrances.
It was totally no point. No, I mean, WrestleMania is kind of about the entrances, but yeah, that was...
It is, but when you're when it's dumb, it's like, let me just see you wrestle. We don't want to see how great your entrance, how lame your entrance could be. Like, here's how you do a good entrance. Rusev's fucking entrance was goddamn incredible compared to Triple H and Sting.
Yes.
And we'll get to that.
Yes. Yes. So, you're pissed off and this match starts.
But the match was fine.
Yeah, the match was fine, but I cringed in different ways. Like, it was kind of like watching the ladder match for me of like, don't throw Sting in, don't throw the old man into the steps.
I did like that Sting came in shape, though. Like, he looked really good. Compared to like his last couple of years in TNA, he was overweight. And
like they were doing moves, they're taking bumps. It was just, I think it was just the conditioning thing. Like you could just tell they were both kind of gassed pretty easily. But I think they knew that, and then they booked the DX and NWO ridiculousness on top of it, and it was just a good dumb wrestling time at that point.
Yeah, it was like it doesn't make any sense because Kevin Nash and Scott Hall are really good friends with Triple H. It does not make any sense reality wise, but wrestling isn't wrestling. You know, it's a TV show about wrestling.
That was like, and the people getting so angry
you gotta look at the characters. Yeah, it's like, no, they're playing a character. And yeah, it's a little lame that, you know, you're the NWO is coming out
to
help
WWE
Sting.
It's
Sting wasn't
versus WCW. That's all it is. Yeah. Like,
that's all it is.
It's Monday Night Wars.
And yeah,
we've been doing this for a year.
It's overbooked.
Yeah.
Completely overbooked. But hey, guys, guess what? That's how the Attitude Era was. Completely overbooked. They did a great nostalgia.
Yes.
You know,
I turned my brain off and I enjoyed myself. And
yeah, it was great. I loved it.
What about Triple H winning?
That's fine.
Okay.
You know, he was gonna win because
WWE won.
Guess who won that Monday Night? Guess who won the Monday Night War? Yeah. The only cringeworthy moments I had was when like Hall and Nash took bumps. I was like, guys,
don't
and like Nash trolled the audience by holding on to his quad. Like that was incredible. Like he took a bump and then immediately grabbed his quad on TV. I was like, no, you got me.
Yeah.
You got me.
I couldn't believe Hall took the bump, so.
Oh, he took like a back body drop, didn't he, or something like that? I was like, what are you doing, dude?
I was kind of doubting that Road Dogg like knew what he was doing. He's like, no, that's anybody but Hall. I thought that's what they signed.
God damn him. Billy Gunn is jacked. Holy shit, that dude's in shape.
Yep.
I mean, I know he's working, he's a trainer in NXT, so he's going to be in shape, but good God, he looked good.
Mm-hmm. Good, I'm glad we had fun there.
Yeah, had a good time, man.
And then we had the Divas tag match, which was fine. Kind of summed up the year in WWE Divas. And, you know, you let at least AJ and Paige won. And, you know, I still will, like, Nikki's come a long way in the ring. Like, she can at least put on a match. So, but there's really nothing memorable about it. It's just been kind of, you're waiting for some of them to have a breakout Divas match that actually, I don't know, can match any of the NXT's stuff. And, you know, this wasn't it, but it was fine. And then, you know, since then we find out that AJ's retiring. So it was nice to see her one last time, but.
Yeah. 2-0 undefeated at WrestleMania.
Bring it on.
I kind of want to go back and watch that match now that she is retired and, you know, kind of.
Well, she slept through half the match.
More than I have. Yeah, that's true. She got the shit kicked out of her.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think she's potentially underappreciated in the the Hall of the Divas, and I don't think she deserves to be. Like, I think she's really good for her size and what she brought to the table character-wise. Like, she did really well.
Her finish kind of came out of nowhere this time, and the other thing I'll say is, you know, Paige is obviously the worker, but she takes a lot of bumps, man. Like there was some powerbomb thing where she looked like she just landed right on her head, and it's happened multiple times. And I'm just like, can you not beat the ever loving shit out of her before she's the focus here,
first year on the main roster?
Yeah. And it's also crazy to think that's her first WrestleMania. Like, so she debuted the day after. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'll be interested to see where the Divas are at this time next year. And I'm also secretly hoping that now that Alundra Blaze brought the title back, that maybe they can start heading down a division between the Divas and the Women's. Like, somehow make that show stand out, and now you've got the Women's belt.
I can see where that would go. You put Natty and Charlotte and Paige and and Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss and any other woman, Bayley in NXT, and then the rest of the women on the main roster and the Divas belt.
Yep.
They're never gonna do that.
Nope. They are not.
That's too much time on the women.
Nope. Yeah. And then what do you do?
Not my thinking. That's WWE thinking, not me.
good caveat there. Yeah. It's like, because what do you do with the Bellas at that point? Oh, man.
They do this.
I don't know if they would just take that. That would be, anyway, that's we'll get to have that conversation the next year. That brings us to the best entrance of the night. And
goddamn,
the Rusev Cena match. Rusev showed up on a fucking tank. I was just like,
first, paint the picture for people who haven't watched it. So first Lana comes out. But she's carrying the belt, like, all smiles, like, look at me, I'm the shit.
Yeah.
I am Drago's wife.
Yep.
And she's got some fur on and some Louboutins on. Like, she looks like $1 million. And then she has, like, Russian soldiers behind her carrying the Russian flag.
They're playing
playing the music. Or no, playing the national anthem. And then...
Russian national anthem.
And, you know, Russian national anthem. And then... they kind of pause for a second, and then
they shoot some guns.
Fucking Rusev. They shoot some guns, and then start Rusev's music, and then he comes out in a Russian tank,
holding the Russian flag, standing up on it,
just doing Rusev stuff. Yeah. You know, like waving his arms in the air, and oh my god, like
was that his? That's his first WrestleMania right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know. He might have been in the Battle Royal last year.
Yeah. It's for singles match in WrestleMania. And it's like, dude, you're the fucking star. Like, this is a heel. This is the ultimate heel entrance. Like, sorry, Triple H.
Everything, out of everything I've told people about WrestleMania, his entrance
is the thing.
Has been the number one thing that I keep telling people about how fucking awesome it is. And then to follow it up with Cena's like 5-minute propaganda, U.S. propaganda video, which I love too because of how dumb it was.
It was terrible.
And how it was terrible, but it was like to answer what Rusev just did, it was perfect.
And then
absolutely.
And then you get Rusev, his amazing entrance that's all like well connected. Then you have this USA video, and then it was kind of like. The guy that video was attached to never came out. And it was just kind of like...
Yeah.
And then, here's like, Cena's, hey, look, and then here's Cena's music.
John Cena sucks.
Oh, my God.
The whole crowd. It was so great.
He just has to smirk
God,
it
I
off.
I want to watch WrestleMania again. I want to watch WrestleMania
It's
again.
Not... Well, unless they tuned it down, it's not as loud as you think. Like it... you have to listen for it. Like, it's still very prominent for WrestleMania that, you know... At least half of this crowd is against you, and this ultimate United States versus Russia type match, and they put on a good match. I think was that the first time we've seen the spring off the ropes stunner thing that Cena did?
Yeah, the springboard stunner. Yep.
So he at least tried a new move.
Yeah.
I think. We all kind of felt like Cena was going to win that, and we knew some sort of distraction was going to be involved. So it was actually the bump that Lana took. It looked like she fell on her leg, weird, but So that they sold that well.
And she threw a fucking shoe.
Yeah,
she threw her shoe.
It didn't like.
God damn it! It was great.
What did it do though? It was.
It didn't do anything.
It just confused.
It was supposed
people
to
watching.
Him and like. I think it was supposed to hit him and kind of like have him stop the STF, but it missed him, and so they kind of just looked back at her and was like, "What?
Yeah.
What are you doing?"
Jeez.
And it was perfect. She's and I, so honestly, great. Like I think, yeah, I love Lana and Rusev. They're so great together. And even like this whole build with Cena, like whatever the build, I don't, you know, the WrestleMania build sucked for everybody.
Yep.
But this match, I really enjoyed this match, and I don't know what it is if it's because. He's not in the main event picture. I don't hate him as much. Cena, I mean.
Right.
Like, the dude always puts on good matches. Like, he's never had a shit show match.
The two matches when we kind of recap the year, like, the turning point was realizing how much of a company man he is when he signs on to do SummerSlam, the SummerSlam destruction. And then the only other match that, like, I was down on him on after that was... the Hell in the Cell with Orton, just because it was just kind of like, I mean, we don't really have anything else really to do.
So yeah, I think it's partially because fucking Ambrose and Rollins were in the Cell too, and we were really looking forward to that.
But you're right. He still brings it every match, and like, especially in the Raw crowd after the fact, like, you know, he takes what the crowd gives him, and he's a showman, and you know, it's just his character's just so damn boring.
It's a reaction. Like you said, it's a reaction. Reaction is worse than any reaction.
Yeah. But if they tweaked it, like, I don't know, like if they tweaked it, he could be all right. It's not like he's in bad shape either. So.
No. Yeah, and I think the tweak is not turning heel. The tweak is make wins and losses matter to your character.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't laugh off ass kickings that you take. Just make it, you know, make it make sense. Yep. I don't want you to be heel. Like, I don't, that's fine. We're never going to cross that road. That's cool. But just make it matter more and don't laugh off shit.
I don't want him to be a cartoon character.
And it makes your opponents look so weak when you do that shit.
So rumors are they're going to continue this and, Extreme Rules. I'll be curious what they do with Rusev at that point, because my other concern is I don't know what they're doing with Rusev and Lana for the next year, because I don't want them to break up, but I also think they're going to have to take a breath or take a small turn away from All Russia all the time. But yeah. I think he's got tremendous potential as a wrestler, so I hope they keep running with it, because I don't know, I think he's got a lot of surprises left in him too, so But yeah, this match was good. So like, I'm trying to. We haven't had our miss yet. Like that was.
Yeah, we haven't have our stinker, and there's only two matches to go.
Yeah. So that brings us to Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker, in the daylight. So Bray Wyatt actually had the better entrance here. his creepy little scarecrows that he brought to life. That was good camera work on their part. I thought that was fine.
And it was kind of actually refreshing that Undertaker didn't have a crazy entrance.
Walking in the ring. And
yeah, he's like, I lost last year. Probably don't deserve anything but to go back to the ring and try to win.
You know? Yeah, it just wasn't. It was just, there was nothing over top about it. It was just Taker. And you know what? That's also enough. Like,
absolutely. And you know, you mentioned it, like, it was dusk when this match started and stuff. And like, for me, like that's not as important. I think, you know,
I was just pissed for Bray. Honestly,
cool if it was, would that have been cool to see all the fireflies out with all those scarecrows? Absolutely, yeah. It would have been great. But the fact that it was outdoors makes it feel like such a bigger deal.
They succeeded in that.
Or even next year, if they have the roof open in Dallas, or if they don't, it's still going to feel like a big deal because it's in a huge ass stadium.
That's why I'm okay with the misses on like Triple H's entrance. Like this is the time to put on the show. Like, I do agree with you. The WrestleMania font being in the Terminator font was ridiculous. You get one or the other. You either get the Terminator entrance or you get the font. Like, pick one. You don't get to do both. Like, because you don't get to then beat me over the head with that the rest of the show. Like, that was that was silly.
Yeah, and I think with, you know, just having these events in the outdoor stadiums makes the other events not seem as important because they're just in Raw arenas. And, and that's an issue I have with pay-per-views. Like, they don't feel special anymore to me.
Well, they got to do something you guys have always talked to me as somebody that until this year had not watched pay-per-view outside of WrestleMania. You've always kind of like the big four, you know, the big four events, and then I'm okay with the other ones feeling like Super Raws. But like at this point, like, can you make SummerSlam like feel like this too? Like,
well, and I think they were going to. I think you know, SummerSlam is a good opportunity to have an outdoor event, you know, like make it get the big event going into the fall.
Yeah.
I don't think Royal Rumble needs that. I don't necessarily, because the gimmicks are there for that Royal Rumble and Survivor Series, potentially, if they, you know, do a Survivor Series match. The gimmicks are there to rule that card. But for WrestleMania and SummerSlam, like, they need to be big events.
Yep. Yep. And I feel like six months are like also good, like, stakes in the ground for your major storylines. And mm-hmm. the thing I didn't like about my first Rumble and Survivor Series was that, like, they kind of built up the stories, especially the Survivor Series, just in that 1 month in between pay-per-views. And it's just like, this should be building up, you know, this should be building up after SummerSlam that you're edging towards mm-hmm. some Survivor Series.
Yeah, build purpose. Up quarter stories. Don't build up yeah. monthly stories. Yep. Quarterly stories would be way better.
Yeah, I think if they focused on that, that would help out a lot. But at least for now, like, try to make SummerSlam as big as WrestleMania. Like, it won't be, but, like,
yeah. Why not?
Make me think it is. So,
yeah.
Oh, so yeah. This isn't SummerSlam, but so Undertaker Bray Wyatt. You actually kind of let me know ahead of time, or let us know. I think that I didn't realize Bray was actually injured, and I don't think I would have. I don't think I would have realized he was injured.
No.
So that's
no, absolutely
amazing.
Not. He made the match work. I think he turned his ankle warming up or something pretty bad, and was basically had to stay off of it until he walked out in his entrance. So it was incredible what these two guys did. Like, it wasn't the best Taker match ever. It was a solid match. It was a good comeback after Lesnar last year for Taker. Bray, you know, allegedly Bray's one of the safest guys to work with, even though his stuff looks completely brutal.
Really? Yeah. Huh.
I think, and then putting him with Taker, I think, was a good match for the prestige for Bray, and a good match to Taker looked really good too. Like, he came back in shape and looked incredible. I think having hair really helps him. even if his hairline is receding, like, having maybe too dark of dyed hair. But that bald head is just get to go. But yeah, like, the match was really good. Nothing really stood out to me outside of their little, you know, signature spot where Bray's doing the spider crawl and then Undertaker sits up.
Yeah. That was a great moment.
It's like, good, let's take care of these guys. You know, Taker can come back next year for his last match in his home state.
Hey, those tombstones that Bray took, they look pretty nasty.
Yeah.
That second one, like...
But also, the hair helps.
No. I mean, Taker did fine. I mean, like, that second one, I thought Bray hit his head. Like,
that no, that's good. What I'm saying. Like, yeah. His hair... Like, Bray's hair helps with that look. Like, anybody with long hair makes it look way worse than it actually is. Yeah.
I mean, so am I crazy? I thought they, like, he stopped doing the tombstone. Like, I thought that because of neck injuries.
He only does it on.
Okay.
No, he's always done it at WrestleMania.
Okay. All right. I mean, I was watching.
Like, he stopped doing it when he stopped doing it every time he wrestled on Raw.
Okay.
Like, and I think, you know, going to the power bomb and, like, the submissions, because mm-hmm. it's not a move, and that's why Kane moved away from it too.
But, oh, interesting.
They always bust.
Okay, that's cool, because I always thought they did it just for neck injury stuff. Like, they can't do pile drivers anymore. That was my.
Well, and it's like Rollins. I don't remember if he did this in the Orton Rollins match, but his finisher. Before the curb stomp was like this twisting 450 splash thing. Mm-hmm. He saves that for special occasions as well.
That's,
so I think that's kind of cool. Yeah. I think that's kind of cool. Cause some of those moves are going to be devastating on the people who are performing them, and to make matches feel more special.
Yep.
You know, why not bust them out? Like, I'm doing everything I can to beat this guy. Let me pull this move out of my back pocket to help.
Yep. I mean, I think
that's what the tombstone can do. And
I think Cena and Reigns could take a note of that from some of their moves. Like,
yeah, and I don't want to see that springboard stunner all the time, and he did it tonight on Raw. So it's like, keep that as a special move, dude. Like, yep.
But no, that match was fine. It wasn't mm-hmm. great, but it was a cool match to see, and a kind of just a cool special event.
It was safe and made my anxiety for Taker's health just completely dissipate. So
initially I was like, what the fuck was the point to have Bray lose? But then you also look back, like, you can't, like, all the people that Taker has beat, mm-hmm. you can't have Bray win. Like, it's not like, if Michaels and Triple H aren't gonna do it, like, I know WWE doesn't really book that way, like, historically, like, they have this such a short-term memory, but it's just like, it also wouldn't make sense historically for Bray to win And he did fine. It took two tombstones to beat him, but
it would have made sense if Bray did this last year, not in Bray's character, or if Taker had won last year, it would make sense for Bray to win this year and take over the creepy mantle and run with it. It's like, hey, look what I did. You know, I made him face me, and now he lost. So
yeah,
that would have been a great. You know,
I just wish I could tell that there's a plan for how they're gonna Taker's gonna retire, and like, you know, if they really are want him to do his go home show in Texas next year, I mean that's fine. But like, I kind of liked, you know, there's a lot of fantasy booking around what a lot of Taker's matches, but I did want the torch to be passed in that regard. Like Bray deserves that push right now and needs that push, and makes me fearful for his next year. But you know, they'll figure something out. And but overall, that match was great on its own. So.
Yep.
So I even as up as I was, as high as I was right now on how good WrestleMania 31's going. Apparently we're not allowed to call it 31 anymore. It's just they're all just WrestleManias from here on out. WrestleMania
play button.
I was like, so we had a couple guys over that don't normally watch wrestling, and I was like, well, guys, it's been fun. I'm sorry that this is gonna suck. You know, it's supposed to maybe be the main event, but you know. And holy shit, like, I tapped into everything I really liked about that Cena SummerSlam match with Lesnar. And it was really enjoyable to see him beat the shit out of Reigns for a while. But then when you realize that Reigns isn't going down, I got really nervous, man. I got really nervous. And then, I mean, I've realized in this last year, I'm a total sucker for during live events. Like, I thought something fucked up when Lesnar slammed his head against that post and immediately started bleeding. Like, I was just like, don't, like, he really busted his head on that shit. Like, that's intense. Side note, I also got really pissed because Lesnar got cut up at the beginning because of Reigns' stupid buttons all over his vest. Like, they keep
was that what it was that cut him?
That's my guess, is him doing those suplexes and all those little fasteners just rubbing over his face, like, because he was bleeding quick.
But man, that match, you know, I was like, you know, throughout the weeks leading up to it from Royal Rumble, I was like, man, this is gonna suck. Okay, they're gonna put Daniel Bryan in there, okay, you know, somebody that can get a good match out of both these dudes. And it's just like the history of Lesnar being in a match with somebody who's not a great worker in a WrestleMania spot is him and Goldberg, which was a complete shit show. And so everybody's thinking it's going to be that again.
That was my main fear. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Lesnar re-signs with the WWE, and everybody's like, oh shit, there's so many different things that can happen now. Because before it was like, Roman's going to win.
Yep.
You know, if Lesnar doesn't re-sign, Roman's going to win, and that sucks. Mm-hmm. And now there's so many opportunities. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting excited. Man, but this match still could suck. And then they just come out and just potato the hell out of each other, to take the name of our site. Like, there was some stiff as hell shots, like a knee to Lesnar's face, knees to Roman Reigns' midsection and face. Like, they were bringing it.
I think they did a replay at one point of some shot that Reigns took. Yes. And it was just like, and I remember, like, Josh or one of the other guys in the room was just like, oh, this will look bad. And then it's just like, oh, no, that was rough.
Yeah, and it was like, I forget who it was on social media, but they're like, are they going to make him like a Tommy Dreamer character, where Tommy Dreamer just gets his ass kicked match after match, and like, it becomes super sympathetic to the crowd? And that kind of started happening, where he was like, he was taking his ass whipping and he was laughing and smiling and stuff. And like,
that was great.
Holy shit. Like, it was a great way to build some respect for Roman Reigns within a match that people did not want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Lesnar's Lesnar, and people are going fucking bananas for him, because he's a beast who's just destroying Roman Reigns. And Roman got some shots in too. It wasn't like totally one-sided like SummerSlam. But God damn. Like, I was so pumped during this match. I was like, holy shit, this is actually good. Holy shit, this is actually good. Holy shit, this is good. And then, you know,
even when they let Reigns have his offense and start to make the turn after Lesnar takes that headshot into the post, like, it's still not cut and dry for Reigns. And I like it was building up my fears, like, oh, they're just going to do, like, this little Superman ending for Reigns. He's going to rally off his moves. And,
yes, and I was then, so afraid, too.
And then, and just when I think it's over, Lesnar catches him in an F5, and I'm like, oh, fuck! And then to cap off, I mean, that was the most perfectly booked main event WrestleMania match I've ever seen, out of seven, but, like, it was flawless in its booking. And, like, I don't know how much they coached them through the match or whatever, but Lesnar Reigns on their own was fantastic. They both looked great. And then, like, the best use of the Money in Bank briefcase, like, and so perfect for all the characters and how everybody comes off, like,
and so many different directions they can go in.
And they didn't,
and I guess, like, well, we need to explain what happened because we're just using non-descriptive language.
Let's see if I can remember correct. Like, so they're both down after the F5 after Reigns' comeback, and then Rollins comes running down, and everybody gets excited, and you know, he's going into now a triple threat match rather than waiting for the match to be over, because that was, like, even if he was cashing in, I thought they were gonna give Reigns his moment, and I didn't want to see that. Because I didn't want to see Lesnar lose to Reigns. And so he comes out, does a triple threat, and he what? So he gives Brock, he gives, is that right? Okay, yeah, he gives Brock the...
He gives both of them a curb stomp, doesn't he?
I think he does. He gives Brock the curb stomp.
I think he gives both of them a curb stomp. And then
he gives both of them a curb stomp, and then goes to do it again to Lesnar. And Lesnar catches him.
And Lesnar picks him up.
And then Reigns
for an F5.
Spears Lesnar with Rollins in his arms for the F5. So Lesnar goes down, and then
Rollins throws Lesnar out of the ring, and then he curb stomps Reigns and then pins him.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, and wins the title. So Lesnar didn't lose. He lost the belt, but didn't lose the match. Completely protects his character. Reigns is fine too because of what happened in the match. Like, people are starting to respect him because he took an ass whipping, and him losing is just like, God damn it, slimy ass Rollins. Like, of course.
And then I'm contrasting this with WrestleMania last year with Daniel Bryan just being in the ring and the crowd like going nuts, and they're just the WrestleMania moment. And Rollins' WrestleMania moment is, I got the belt. I'm run the fuck away. And he does his, like, just starts swinging that belt around, and like, and it was so perfect to the character. And then, like, we had talked about, like, this. I mean, Rollins and Ambrose carried WWE during this tumultuous, injury ridden year in between Brock Lesnar high points. Like, and it was. In that regard, it was a lot more satisfying to see him get rewarded for it, like, but also still being so much in that character.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the issue that people had with Reigns is, you know, they don't feel like Reigns has the work rate, obviously, of a good wrestler to be in that spot, especially with the vocal males of the audience. But also, like, he was gone a big part of the last year. Like, Rollins, as hated as he is as a heel, he's hated with a ton of respect because everybody enjoys what he's doing. You know, it's not like we hate him because he's a bad guy. We hate him because his character wants to be evil, but, like, we love him as a wrestler.
Which is, and, like, listen to that crowd's reaction of just, like, the appreciative boos that he, like, the resounding.
Yeah.
Oh, so great.
Yeah, they weren't upset that Rollins won, like, the man Rollins won. They're, like, appreciative of him, but they're upset that the character stooped to such a level, you know, and that's all that they could ask for is, like, so great. So let me ask you this, Justin. Like, you watched with Josh and a couple other people who aren't into wrestling at all, and it sounds like one of them started watching the next week and was, like, pretty into it. Hopefully that continues. How was the reaction from the guys who weren't big wrestling fans?
I mean, they enjoyed I'm trying to think.
Like, top to bottom, they enjoyed themselves?
Yeah, because there really wasn't a moment. Because if you think about it, Orton Rollins would have been the moment. But
no, the moment was the fucking dumbass musical break.
Well, yeah. That's but we had a pizza break. Like, we
Oh, okay.
We got concessions. You know, it was, it would have been Orton Rollins, but they had so many good little spots and then ended it on such a high note. They're just like, who the fuck are those guys? So, so they really, and then everything else, like there was something to latch onto with, obviously the nostalgia of Triple H, Sting. Divas was just a change of pace, I think. And then the Rusev Cena US and Russia stuff and Rusev's entrance, and then everybody knows Taker and who's this new little Taker. Like, and then, yeah, they wouldn't have. And I was actually less worried about the main match because they didn't have the baggage that we had. Like, it's just two big dudes That's beating true. The shit out of each other.
Yeah, they probably heard of Brock Lesnar before, so.
Yeah. So they really, they had a good time. Like, as I kept telling people, like, you should all come over for WrestleMania, it'll be terrible. Like, that's how I sold it. And ended up being,
it's crazy.
I mean, it was, that's really better cool. Top to bottom really cool. than 30, in my opinion. Like, I feel like,
I agree.
I think Brian's story, like, elevates so much of 30, but the stuff outside of that,
in between,
just, yeah, match for match, this was so much better.
And I know they've been making a big deal of this, on the internet, as we are as well, but just looking at this card that we have typed up in this doc, and like Dan, like Reigns, Bray, Rusev, Rollins, Ambrose, Cesaro, like all these, Hideo Itami, all these people in pretty big fucking spots, all from NXT.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, holy shit.
Yep.
It's actually, it's working.
Future is now.
It's working. Yeah.
So yeah, we're way high on WrestleMania. Like I'm ready to take this journey again. And then
I'm ready to be disappointed next, Rumble WrestleMania season,
which was weird. And I don't want to talk about the whole show, but holy shit, did Raw after WrestleMania get off to a great start? Like, did you end up going back to watch it or how did you take that in?
Yeah. I mean, I watched, you know, I'm just WWE YouTube clips. I haven't watched the whole show, and I guess the first 2 hours are the only thing I really need to watch anyway. Mm-hmm. But was the intro Brock and Rollins?
I didn't see the intro, but I think they would have set up the match the title match between them, because that was a surprise that Lesnar was actually there. I mean, they're going to give him his title chant.
I think he came out at the very beginning.
And then they went to Ziggler-Bryan, which was supposedly just fantastic.
Okay.
And that's about the time I got home and started watching things and got to see Lesnar go apeshit and them find, you know, like they had to find a way to write him off due to his contract and doing a suspension angle because he's so pissed off that he can't get his match against Rollins because Rollins is jet lagged. He doesn't feel 100%, so he's not going to fight tonight.
The perfect setup. He's like, hey, I'm a fighting champion.
Yep.
And I will give you your title rematch.
Just not tonight.
But just not tonight. And it was like, we've heard that so many times before, but just the way he delivered it was just so refreshing and awesome.
Which is also like one subtle thing I noticed during the Lesnar-Reigns match was they promoted, they had like, either it was like, I think it was right before the match started, but it was like a little graphic that said,
the Today Show thing.
Yeah, the WWE champion's going to be on Today Show, and on the left side they had Lesnar, right side they had Reigns. I was like, that's going to be silly. Like, I was like, I can't wait to see Lesnar on the Today Show. And I was like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, there's no way either one of these guys is going to be good on the Today Show. And then sure enough, it's Rollins, who was probably amazing on
playing
it.
Playing with puppies. So
playing with a puppy, yeah.
Oh, not man. A heel. But yeah, he had to fly back from New York. Like, he's tired. And but yeah, then so Lesnar going just ape shit, and then like I don't think they handled it all that well, but like I appreciated like the silence after the fact, because he took out the, you know, he flipped the announcer's table and crushed JBL and Booker T under there, and then F5 Michael Cole out of his shoes. His fucking shoes came off on an F5, and then
so great.
And the show was kind of weird from that point, aside from I like that Cena and Ambrose got to fight, and hopefully they find reasons to do that again. And but the show had a lot of energy. The crowd was both awesome and the worst crowd I've ever seen during the Divas match.
Well, they became the worst match because they got tired, you know, tired and bored.
No, but I mean, they're aboard at the end, and the wave was actually really funny because that triple threat or triple tag team match was just the worst thing they could have done. And they're not doing any Reigns any more favors with the audience, because it was just like he was like the last, you know. Orton had to find two tag team partners, and Ryback stepped up, and who's going to be the mystery last one? And it's Reigns coming out of the crowd, and it's just
such a mystery
with Kane and Big Show. And so they got to fix that shit, cause they have not figured that out. But, so the crowd's doing the wave during most of that thing. But, and then the crowd sucked during the Divas matches and did very inappropriate chants, and, are not doing anything to help that division at all. But the random NXT chants were pretty entertaining. Like, just going on throughout.
Yeah, the how you doing chant was really good.
Yeah. I think Enzo was on Twitter saying, "We hear you."
Great.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, they definitely. The first hour and a half was pretty good, and then Raw became Raw again. So. You know, we'll have plenty of. We've given NXT its due. And I feel like we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. They're kind of in between stuff. I think I don't even know when their next show is. It might be. They gotta have a show this month, right? When is their next pay-per-view?
I think so. Hey guys, just listen to what I'm about to say.
Okay.
WrestleMania was great. Main card, awesome. Just do yourselves a favor and just watch NXT every week. Like, forget about Raw. Just watch NXT.
Watch NXT every week and then watch the WWE specials. The
specials every quarter. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a huge time commitment. An hour a week out of your day, or an hour out of your week. You're not going to get sick of people, because not everybody shows up every week 100 times. And the wrestling is incredible. The characters are incredible. The crowd is incredible. Just watch it.
So they're kind of, I feel like they were told to tone things down around WrestleMania to not steal some of its thunder. At least that's what I like to pretend. Love Tyler Breeze. That's really all you need to know. And I hope that Becky Lynch, they figure out her character here coming up, because I could be okay with that.
Yeah, I really like Becky Lynch. I didn't used to, but she's really come around. And that promo she did last week was really good. So
I think her and Sasha could have some good matches.
Do big things.
Yeah, and Sasha's just amazing.
Yeah, I think she has a worldwide. Yeah, I think Becky Lynch has a worldwide history of wrestling too, just like Finn Balor and Kevin Owens. And so she's better than she's probably been led us to believe.
Oh, so we should say. That Neville debuting on Raw was another big deal last week. So they dropped Adrian.
And Lucha Dragons too.
Yeah, that's when you fucking do it, when you have that crowd there. Yep. Like, yeah, you don't do it like they did the Ascension. No matter what you think of their Ed Ring abilities, like I just want them to see them give people a chance. And like between how they booked Roman Reigns into the ground and how. And they did the same thing with the Ascension. Like, it's very similar bad booking that would never get over with a crowd either way. I just want to see these guys get a chance. And Neville, definitely, he got his chance. And hell, this week on Raw, he was wrestling Rollins and put on a hell of a show, just like you expected him to. So,
Hey, Neville, we're going to have you debut the night after WrestleMania. Oh, and then next week you're going to fight the WWE champion.
Right.
No big deal.
And also the exact type of wrestler that you excel at working with. Like,
yeah, and you've probably worked with, like, you know, 100 times throughout your years. Like, don't worry about it, dude. No big deal. It's like, I'd really want to hear, like, so Pac was his indie name, and he was on a Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana, and it's a really good episode. It's an older episode.
I mean, it was like his transition point. Like, you literally see it happen in that interview. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like so down on himself and everything. Like, Colt was pretty, you know, like, gave him a lot of compliments and was like, dude, you're fucking awesome. And if you go back and watch his matches as Pac, you're like, dude, this guy's incredible. And to see where he was, like, self-confidence-wise from that point until he's got to be, like, on the fucking moon right now. He just fought the WWE champion live on Monday Night Raw a week after his debut. Like, I love that happened for that guy.
Yep. I'm stoked. So, like, they're getting some stuff right. now that they can just figure out their Big Show Kane problem, which would mean they would figure out how to book a main event on Raw. We'd have something more to talk about. But so we'll keep revisiting that. We'll probably regroup here after Extreme Rules and talk more NXT at that point. But I just thought let's take a look at these guys that were in the WrestleMania card and maybe make some predictions or fantasy booking, just stuff that stands out to you. I don't know, like what do you see happening with Rollins' belt?
I can say this about a lot of champions in the past. Like, I always want them to keep it for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to hot potato the belt. I'm going to try to mention potato and as much as fine. I can during this podcast. I want him to keep it. Like, he's the type of champion that can keep it for a long time. Outside of like a Lesnar, who's just a beast. But Rollins is that slimy heel who can.
There's always find all a way kinds to win. Of excuses you can give him to win.
Right. And I think the way WrestleMania ended and, you know, his continuing feud with Orton and all that stuff, there's like so many different directions that they can go with him. And that's exciting too. Instead of just like, oh, now he's going to face Cena. Cena's not even in the fucking picture. Mm-hmm. And that is like so refreshing. Like, yeah, Orton and Cena headlined, you know, 20 out of the 24 pay-per-views during a run or something like that. Or maybe even more than that. And so Orton was tired. But now, with a different opponent, like, Orton's fresh again to me, mm-hmm. you know. And Cena, out of the picture, is fresh again to me. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know where they're going to go with Rollins. I just hope they keep it on him for a while.
So if they're
at least till Lesnar comes back.
That's kind of my reaction, is I think they're heading to Rollins-Orton for Extreme Rules, and it's set up for a good point for Rollins to actually beat Orton this time. And kind of, because I think he also needs a quality win other than just his slimy heel stuff does. Too. But I,
you know, and I think something, go ahead. Sorry.
I was gonna say my ideal would be Rollins holds onto it till SummerSlam and then Lesnar comes back and destroys him. Like, and like, I just enjoy that so much. And when he comes back, like, I want to start chipping away at the Lesnar character eventually, but I do want him to just squash Rollins and then have Rollins and Reigns and whoever else kind of start battling back to get the title back from Lesnar.
You know what I'd be okay with, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, is let's say Night of Champions, or I don't know, what's in between now and SummerSlam?
Money in the Bank,
maybe. Money in the Bank. What would kind of be funny is if Reigns beat Rollins at some point before SummerSlam, mm-hmm. Lesnar comes back and he doesn't give a shit. Like, he doesn't want to fight Rollins. He doesn't want to fight Rollins because he doesn't have the belt. So him and Reigns fight Slam. Lesnar destroys him because, mm-hmm. you know, that's what he does at SummerSlam. And then Rollins just makes fun of Reigns nonstop until like WrestleMania about how he won the title against Lesnar and Reigns can't even beat Lesnar by himself. Just like go crazy slimy heel, just fucking over the top, rub it in Reigns' face. And I think potentially you can build Reigns up that way, mm-hmm. too, of like have Rollins always like come out on top.
Yep.
And then Reigns becomes a sympathetic character.
Yeah, that's all they have to do with him is like the sympathy wasn't there. And I think going head-to-head with Rollins for a bunch of weeks in a row will improve his mic skills if they let him just be himself. Like,
script suffering succotash.
Yeah. So they, I think Reigns actually stood a chance this year if he had had the full year, but the injury just kind of threw that out the window. So wait, you want Reigns to beat Rollins? Reigns to beat Rollins.
Yeah, I say Reigns can beat Rollins at one of the pay-per-views, mm-hmm. goes into SummerSlam, gets his ass destroyed by Lesnar,
and then
builds up a sympathetic character maybe to the next WrestleMania.
Where he takes it back at that point?
For Reigns, yeah.
Okay, cool.
But Rollins is there every step of the way, like, you know,
yep.
fuck off. And I will say this, the one disappointing thing... Well, now that I think about it, I'm going to kind of change my mind. What if that Ambrose spot, they're never, WWE doesn't think this far ahead. But what if that Ambrose spot was there specifically for him to get so injured that he couldn't disrupt the cash in like he promised he would?
Yeah.
Since Seth Rollins took the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Oh, I think there's, still Ambrose Rollins also happens at some point this year. I don't know if it's for the title, but
there's still a lot of fire there.
Yeah, that might be when Rollins doesn't have the belt again. I'd agree with that. Ambrose and Rollins. I don't think Ambrose and Rollins fight for the belt. Yes, he will. He's smart enough, and they seem to be a little loose with him too. Like, I think he'll whatever they feud next, he'll bring that up. Like that. If it weren't for that ladder match, I would have. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hope they do. That's good continuity in their storytelling, which they have not done in the past.
So, is there anybody else? I think Orton hangs around, obviously, in the title picture. Does anybody else hang out in the title picture this year? Is it mainly those?
I could see Rusev taking a step up.
Yeah.
I don't know if he will. Like, I think he has. He needs to be
I think Rollins and Rusev somehow like get rid of Kane and Big Show. Use other heaters, and like Rusev could be that.
You think pair Rusev up with Rollins? Holy shit!
Yeah, I mean, why can't the Authority hire their own little
enforcer?
Yeah, like, and then you just have Rusev like turn on him at some point.
Build a new Four Horsemen. Build a new Four Horsemen. You know, mm-hmm. Rollins is Ric Flair. It's perfect. Rusev is, you know, your Sid Justice or your Arn Andersons or your, you know, and then you get.
I want Rollins, Rusev, and Luke Harper rolling together. It's more intimidating than I just want to get rid of Big Show and Kane. We don't get rid of Big Show and Kane this year is also my prediction. So
yeah, put Rusev and Harper can fill that role absolutely, and then Lana, however you say her name, can stay around.
She's like his business manager, like, and like has basically made the deal with the Authority.
And it doesn't have to stay Russian focused at that point.
Right, and yeah, he can quiet that stuff down, which would allow his character to do something else after he. Turns on the Authority. Okay. Mm-hmm. At least we settled that.
we solved Rusev.
Let's see. Who's Triple H fighting next year?
Bray is. Who cares?
Okay.
He's fighting The Rock and Ronda Rousey. We didn't even talk about that. Rock and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie. It was a nice surprise and refreshing. It wasn't like, oh, great, Rock and Triple H again. It was something new, which I liked a lot.
Well, let's go back. Yeah, like, because then more props to Stephanie.
The crowd went fucking crazy.
Yeah. She did really good in that moment of telling Ronda to get out of her ring, and she did the same thing to Lesnar the next night of, like, you're suspended, and I own you, and... She was on top of the, like, it was paced a little weird. It felt like they were stretching for time for whatever reason at some point, but like the Rousey stuff was fantastic. And I don't know where it's going, cause I don't think UFC lets Rousey in a match, and I don't know how you book her versus Steph and make it believable.
You just have her kill her.
Yeah. Wasn't that pretty much the chant?
My favorite part, Ronda's gonna kill you. My favorite part of the like that whole thing was when like Rock comes over to Rousey, right? Stephanie tells Rock to get out of the ring. He gets out of the ring. He walks over, and what I thought was gonna happen was Rock's mom was sitting over there.
Yeah.
So what I thought was gonna happen was he's gonna go ask his mom for permission to hit a girl, and because that would be something that The Rock would do, right? and then you see Ronda Rousey, and the crowd knows she's there. And the crowd starts chanting her name. And when he tells her to jump the barricade, my favorite moment where her friends went absolutely apeshit. Because it didn't seem like they didn't know what was going to happen. Awesome. And when she jumped the ring, they went crazy.
And her Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, the four horsewomen of MMA.
Oh, man. That was that was a fun moment. And I think they are smart to have one of those rather than music breaks. So, So yeah, Triple H Rock next year. That seems to be where that's headed, which is fine. Like, whatever. I just want to see. I just want to see The Rock
have Stephanie and Ronda.
Yeah, and they will. They will in some sort. Like, I don't know if they'll do like maybe Ronda's the referee. They do a Tyson thing. And the fact that she got to toss Triple H, that had to be really cool for her too.
Yeah, it was a nice little judo throw.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to have their matches to try to sell that place out. And I just want to see The Rock. Ever since he's come back, he hasn't had a good match that I've seen. And part of it's like he's either injured or the other guy's been injured. Like his two Cena matches, like both need do-overs. like Rock was injured in one and Cena was injured in the other. So, I could be okay with another Triple H Rock. If they can do something kind of weird with the story, that'd be better. But
yeah.
All right, so Rusev's with the Authority. We don't care about Cena. Where were you going to go with Bray? What's happening to Bray this year?
Man, that's the big question mark. Where does he go after this Taker feud? He did an incredible job selling that whole feud by himself. Like
for like 8 weeks.
8 weeks. He's great on the mic. Everything he did was really good. I don't know. This might be an unpopular opinion. I don't need to see Bray every week.
Nope. I'm fine with that. Make him a special event.
Keep him a special attraction. He can work every week. You know, he's that good of a wrestler.
They need to figure out what his motivations to actually fight these people. Like,
and the motivations that he says that, you know, why he's fighting them, they need to take hold of the people that he beats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're gonna say you're gonna ruin their career, ruin their fucking career storyline wise.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna cost them their legacy. Cost them their legacy.
There hasn't been an effect to anybody that's fought Bray Wyatt. Like,
no, and it's been the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's just like tired storytelling at this point.
So the other thing, I don't see him in the they've rumored him fighting Reigns a little bit this year, which that's fine. But
that actually might be a good feud for Reigns.
Yep.
You know, Reigns has been thrust in the main event picture ever since he came back from his injury and been fighting the same dudes over and over again. I think of him and Bray, and Bray could capitalize on his like, hey man, guess you weren't ready yet kind of thing, you know, and just rub that into the ground. And again, build Reigns into a sympathetic character.
Mm-hmm. That could be that springboard.
And maybe that's all Bray is there for, is like, you know, everybody really likes his character. He's getting cheers. People want to see Bray Wyatt. And keep him as a special attraction to help build your baby faces.
Yeah. And I just, yeah, long-term effects to whatever he's saying and how that affects who he's fighting and making them change.
Yeah.
And then, but give him a reason to fight too, because I want these guys that don't give a shit about belts, and he should never give a shit about belts, but he's got to somehow, he's got to like do something where this thing's important to you, so I'm going to take it away from you. Like, he could go at Rollins that way. Like I don't give a shit about this.
I think that makes it
more, but I want you to see how desperate you are. I think that
makes it way more interesting.
Yeah. So give him a reason.
I like it. Can we make that happen?
Spray Wyatt with Rollins. That's our fantasy.
Bray Wyatt with a champion
taking his belt away.
Doesn't matter who the champion is.
Yep. This is important.
Take the belt as your prize.
So I think that'll get us rolling at least. Unless you had anybody from the Intercontinental. I mean, I think Brian keeps that Intercontinental belt for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the history of the Intercontinental Belt has been, hey, this is the workhorse title. This is the guys you come to see to have a good wrestling
it's
match.
The SmackDown title.
Guys just, you know, yeah, they're the immovable objects and stuff like that.
Who do you think takes it from him?
But man, like, the future is bright with the Intercontinental title with all the guys that they have that can work, you know, with Ziggler and Bryan and Ambrose and, you know, Rollins, I think, can jump back and forth. And I think it's a great starting place for the NXT guys. Like, imagine Tyler Breeze in that feud with, like, put Tyler Breeze in there with Bryan and Ziggler and Ambrose. And, like, he holds his own, and gets rubbed from those guys, and he's on his way to becoming a mainstay. You know.
Yep. Well, I was gonna say, depending on what they do with Cena, like you could make the U.S. title the first title that NXT guys go after, and like,
I mean that's true too. Any of those titles, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be curious what they do with. I don't know, because right now it seems like the U.S. title, since it's on Cena, is higher than Intercontinental, and that's weird to me. But if Cena's actually giving people the rub, then we'll see there. But
yeah, I mean, Ambrose last week's. I mean, and I think what's important for those two belts is they need to be contended for every week. Mm-hmm. Belts on the line every week, and the champion doesn't lose any non-title matches. Because that just destroys.
My favorite thing about NXT is their fucking tournaments. Have a bunch of tournaments.
Yeah.
Like don't set up your number one contender by accidental losses, like on a regular basis.
Yes. Yes. It's simple.
Yeah.
I think Vince hates tournaments though. That's the thing.
So is that? I mean, Bryan is kind of the SmackDown show. Cena's still kind of Raw. Like so. U.S. titles probably defended a lot on Raw, and Intercontinental's probably defended a lot on SmackDown, it sounds like.
And that seems so backwards to me, but...
Yep. You also got to
give that's the way they're going.
I mean, after last week...
That's a reason to watch SmackDown, you know?
And it's a two-hour show. I'm kind of like, yeah. If it becomes the worker show, and it's just tighter, like, I can't watch both, yes. And I don't want to know what happens in both, because it ruins the other show when you get the repeat stuff, but... I would like to, yeah. Since I'm not going to get my two-hour Raw, I'll take a two-hour SmackDown.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's going to do it. I'm going to save you from a three-hour show. But this was...
Yeah, because, you know, our three-hour shows could, like, you know, be just as bad as Raw, so we don't want that to happen.
It's a good reason to not go 3 hours. But yeah, Potato Bumps, check us out on potatobumps.com. You can subscribe to the podcast on horriblenight.com as well. And then, check out our site. We'll put these, random bookings and predictions and revisit them on a regular basis. And, we will come back, after Extreme Rules and maybe talk some more like an NXT at that point. And, anything else you want to part with as far as, maybe some other matches people should watch. Like, what we had never revisited some of the New Japan stuff, but
no. And I think New Japan just had a big show this weekend. I just saw some of the results before we started here, and you know there are ways to watch that online, and I recommend you know people doing that. If you like wrestling, you're not going to understand what the commentators are saying, and or some of the wrestlers on the show, and that's fine. If you like wrestling, that's all it is. It's just really stiff, strong style wrestling where they beat the shit out of each other. And it's a different type of wrestling than the WWE. And but you'll recognize some of the characters on there. They're old TNA and WWE guys sometimes too. So.
And then we need to figure out...
Check that out.
I feel like we need to do like a marathon of the best of Lucha Underground and talk about it at some point too. So.
Yeah. Oh, and we should... you know, and we're going to talk about this after the show, but... We should book club matches, you know, watch a assign a match to everybody and that listens, yeah. And then we can talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll do that.
So.
And we'll figure out something to do with that. I think we could do that even in between shows. So.
We can post that on our Twitter or Tumblr and set that up too. So.
Yeah. Look for us. We're on Twitter. We're at potato_bumps, and we'll be posting even more random stuff there. But we'll be having a good time. So. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we'll be back next month, if not sooner. We'll see you.
See you guys and ladies.